you start thinking, maybe this is my turning point. Like, forget therapy. All I needed was this new hyperfixation. Welcome to The Anxious ADHDer, a podcast for brains that don't always play by the rules. I'm Jess, your resident overthinker, and today we are talking about hyperfixations, or as I like to call them, that thing that I loved for exactly 2 weeks, maybe a month, 2 months, Jesus, basically a long time, although that was a long one. But anyway, before anyone says obsession, no, it's not that. It's dopamine. It's my brain trying to feel normal. So hyperfixations, they're basically ADHD's version of falling in love. You get the rush, the focus, the sense of purpose, and honestly, the freaking delusion. It's like meeting a toxic ex and thinking, no, this time will be different. Spoiler alert, it's never different. You're obsessed, you start planning your life around this new thing, and then out of nowhere, your brain just ghosts it. Like, yeah, I'm actually not really feeling this anymore. Sorry, babe. Now that is hyperfixation. It's intense, emotional, a full-blown love affair, I guess, between you and whatever your brain is currently obsessed with. So when I got diagnosed, I started looking back my past ADHD experiences, and I just realized how early hyperfixations started. So my first hyperfixation, I guess, was Lego. I was probably about 10, maybe earlier, I don't know. So I was actually pretending to be ill once just so I could get home and build this massive Lego fort. Peak commitment. I really gave that performance of a lifetime. Then came The Sims era. I'd spent literally entire weekends designing families and houses. And by Sunday night, I was emotionally attached to pixels. Got the kickboxing, the nail art, the Photoshop, the driving theory. That was a great one. And then weirdly, there was this like full monarchy phase. I can name every British monarch from Richard III onwards until King Charlie, basically. And I still can. And do I need that skill? No, I don't really. But apparently my brain thought it was vital information. It's really funny because once you know what hyperfixation is, you can kind of start spotting it everywhere in your own timeline. Like, oh, right, that wasn't a phase. That was just my dopamine going a little bit rogue. And now this is when people get confused between hyperfixation and hyperfocus. So guys, let's just clear that up real quick. Hyperfixation is the thing itself. So that long-term-ish obsession, the phase, the big idea. And hyperfocus is when you get tunnel vision on a task. So hyperfixation is like falling in love with pottery. I don't know, that was a weird example. To be fair, I've never actually done pottery. Though I think I only really said that because I watched Ghost the other day and I got carried away. I'm not hyperfixated on it, I don't think, yet. But I did have a very short, but also very passionate hyperfixation on Actimel, though. And that one was unfortunately cut short because apparently you're not meant to drink that much Actimel. It's like, you know, it's physically uncomfortable. So yeah, that came to a premature end. And hyperfocus is when you're so deep in something that time just like disappears. Like 1 minute you're watching a quick tutorial, the next it's 3 a.m. and you've somehow signed up to some like online course and ordered supplies you can't afford. Yeah, Skillshare. Actually, you know what? I actually do need to cancel that. And it's not just hobbies either. You can hyperfixate on anything, be a show, a topic, a person, a country, like binge watching, right? Binge watching a program. That's a big one for me. So I'll put on something to just relax. And the next thing I know, I'm like, you know, the Netflix sound has basically become the soundtrack of my life. I'm 6 episodes deep into series 3. And I'm fully emotionally invested and involved and apparently incapable of doing anything else. Anything else is an inconvenience. And you know what? When it comes to shows at the minute, for me, it's Mad Men. And I've been binging that hard. And I think John Hamm's Wikipedia page is now a permanent fixture on my laptop. And you know what? I don't even close it anymore. Why? I don't know. Why does every ADHDer have about 47 tabs open? Half of them I don't even remember opening, but apparently they're emotionally important to me. And I can't actually remember the last time I shut my computer down. It's basically just one long-running documentary of my attention span. The show ends, but your brain refuses to. I mean, I was even hyperfixated on Australia once. Went there for a year and a half, came back, and I would just not shut up about it, honestly. Every conversation turned into, when I was in Australia. Was that technically a hyperfixation, though? I don't know. But it kind of had the same vibe, like pure dopamine, zero off switch. Everyone around me was just nodding politely. Let's talk about the glow phase. I just immediately thought of glowworms for some reason. Anyway, back to the glow phase. It basically is the honeymoon period. So you found your thing and suddenly you're like, you're unstoppable. You've got motivation, purpose, and what actually feels suspiciously like emotional stability. I know, love a bit of emotional stability. You wake up and you're like, this is it. This is my era. This is my era to shine. Watching tutorials, joining Reddit threads. I'm a good old Redditor. Love that. Love that for me. But yeah, and you're bookmarking articles you've never actually read. And then you're messaging your friends going, no, but seriously, this one's different. And they're like, yeah, sure it is, Jess. You've got that main character energy, theme tune, aesthetic, delusional confidence, the lot. Who is that girl? It's Jess. Sorry, I just thought theme tune and, you know, I'm copywriting this. But yeah, anyway, I'm just there genuinely believing I'm finally figured my life out. And for once, your anxiety shuts up. Your brain feels calm, focused, and also kind of weirdly peaceful, sleeping better. And you are suddenly feeling productive in other areas too. You start thinking, maybe this is my turning point. Like, forget therapy. All I needed was this new hyperfixation. And for a little while, you live there, fully in love with your new thing, thriving, happy, and mildly insufferable. And your friends are supportive, but quietly waiting for the crash. And when it comes, you kind of act shocked every single time. You wake up one day and you look at it and you go, yeah, I've kind of got the ick. Like, I'm not really sure why. It just doesn't hit the same. You know, that sparkle's gone. That dopamine has left the building. And suddenly you're like, why did I spend £47 on this again? So here's the thing. I realized I hyperfixate more when I'm anxious. When everything else feels a bit too much, my brain grabs onto one thing and won't let go. It's like, okay, cool. We're just going to focus on this now. And honestly, sometimes it helps. It gives me something to control when everything else feels impossible. But other times it's pure avoidance. Like, I'll be stressed about something real, and instead of dealing with it, suddenly I'm 3 hours deep into researching color palettes for my podcast. Anxiety and ADHD just feed off each other. Anxiety says, you're not doing enough. And ADHD says, oh, fine, let's overdo it. And when dopamine runs out, anxiety's just standing there being all sassy and being like, hey, you miss me. And then without warning, the crash happens. The spark just disappears. One day you're obsessed. The next day you just couldn't care less. You just don't give a shit. You look at whatever it was and you feel this weird sense of guilt, boredom, I guess, and also betrayal. Like, how dare you stop giving me serotonin? And it's not even a conscious decision. One day the buzz just fades and your brain quietly slips out the back door like, yeah, I'm done here. See you later. And the next thing you know, you're surrounded by half-finished projects, unopened Amazon parcels, and about 27 tabs that feel weirdly too emotional to close. Guys, I'm an innate hoarder, all right? I might need this in the future. And let's not forget about the hyperfixation cupboard. We all have it in some shape or form, don't we? It's that place full of your past lives, I guess, half-finished projects, craft supplies, workout gear, that t-shirt printing phase, the I'm going to open up an Etsy shop phase. And it just all kind of sits there, doesn't it? Just judging you from a shelf. And then anxiety pipes up with, oh, great, you've given up again. Or my personal favorite, remember when you thought this was your purpose? Oh, that's really cute of you. It's such a stupid loop because you know it's coming, but every time it happens, you still act surprised. I'll sit there trying to force the feeling back. Like, come on, mate. I loved this last week. What is wrong with me? But it's not drama. It's dopamine. Your brain has just kind of moved on. And anxiety, being the drama queen it is, turns it into some moral failing. It does sting a bit. You do feel the guilt. So instead of saying, this phase has ended, my brain goes straight to, you can't finish anything and everyone is tired of your chaos. Look at me go. So much enthusiasm, yet so little follow through. And then, ladies and gentlemen, I do the mature thing. I completely ignore it and hope it sorts itself out. I know, right? Mature. The worst bit, it isn't even the crash. It's what comes after. It's like an anxiety hangover. So you're sitting there surrounded by all this stuff. You saw you would change in your life and your brain is just like pacing around going, okay, so what now? What's the next thing? Why do you feel weird? Why aren't you doing anything? Should we panic? Probably. And it's not logical. It's that restless, slightly buzzy panic that makes you want to like start a new spreadsheet about your new routine. Spoiler alert, I spend longer planning a routine than actually doing it. You're not relaxed. You're just kind of vibrating in a weird way that kind of looks functional. It's like anxiety can't handle stillness. So it goes, right, let's find something else. Quick, quick. A hobby, a crisis, a new personality. I'm not fussy. Then anxiety's like, say no more, babe. I've got a list. It's exhausting because the truth is, right, when the dopamine disappears, anxiety fills the silence. And if you're used to running on that excitement, calm can kind of feel like a withdrawal. That's when I start overthinking everything I've ever said or done instead of just resting. And that's a hard bit, isn't it? You're learning that not every quiet moment needs to be replaced. Sometimes it's not about quitting. It's just about your brain pretending to be dead a bit. Okay, that sounds a bit dramatic, sure, but you know, same. So now when I feel that slump, that urge to start doing something new out of panic, I try, and this is a key word, try to pause, to not sprint into another obsession just because I feel a bit empty. Because you know what? Half the time, the emptiness isn't boredom. It's just anxiety in some sort of shit wig. So once the buzz fades, I do what every anxious ADHDer does best. I overanalyze the shit out of it. Suddenly, I'm sitting there like I'm doing some kind of weird post-mortem on a hobby. Like, was it me? Did I not commit enough? Did I scare it off by getting too intense too soon? It's like I'm kind of like picking apart a breakup. And then I convince myself it meant something, right? Like that hyperfixation wasn't just about, you know, crochet or coding or whatever the hell it was. No, that was a chapter. That was a chapter of self-discovery, which to be fair, might just be my anxiety making chaos sound profound. Because anxiety, you know, it hates a gap. It wants a reason for everything. It can't just let something end quietly. It's there with like a clipboard going, so what went wrong here then, Jess? And then sometimes it kind of gets personal, gets a little bit bitchy. Instead of being like the whole, that was fun while it lasted, it becomes the whole, why can't you ever stick to anything? You know, like, Jesus, put your claws away. And then, you know what? I start rewriting history, pretending I never actually really liked it that much anyway. And that is classic anxious damage control. The worst bit is when I start missing it. And you know what? Not in like a deep romantic way, not like, you know, Hugh Grant, Julia Roberts, I'm thinking Notting Hill, but not like that sort of way. Just kind of in a weird, nostalgic way. Maybe I should go back, you know, that feeling. Like my brain is like pulling a Westlife reunion tour. Wow, that was a rogue reference. Like no one asked for. There is a time and a place for Westlife. I will end up scrolling through old notes and reopening tabs, pretending it's totally casual. But let's be honest, it never is. But yeah, anyway, I'm going off tangent. What I'm trying to say is that it was a hobby, Jess. Jesus, calm down. Just because you're self-aware doesn't mean that you stop doing it. I'm literally narrating my own downfall, being like, oh, look, we're spiraling again. And I still carry on. Awareness doesn't fix it. It just means I know exactly how ridiculous I'm being while I do it. It's really just the same energy as my browser tabs, really. Can't close them, can't move on. You're just emotionally attached to things I probably will never finish. Bit of digital hoarding there, bit of emotional hoarding. Same thing, really. Because that's what ADHD and anxiety do, isn't it? Like they tag team everything. One's like, ooh, shiny new idea. And the other one's like, quick, panic about it. And you really can't switch them off. You just got to learn about how to turn the volume down a little bit. Yeah, just turn it down. It's not reflection. It's just me overthinking, you know, in high definition. And you really can't win with anxiety. She's just going to find something else to panic and bitch about. This is the tips bit, aka what I'm trying to do about it, but not always doing about it. Tip number one, slow your roll. If you've been on a 2-week Photoshop bender, like maybe chill a bit. I mean, it is impressive. Like, you know, I'm flexing the hyperfixation there, but still, there's other things to do. Tip two, don't make it your whole personality. I mean, you can enjoy something without needing a full like rebrand. You don't need to buy the merch, change your bio and turn it into some sort of career. It can just be, I know, fun, wild concept. I know. Tip three, ride the wave. Don't build a house there. If you feel the spark, cool, go with it. Just don't build your entire self-worth around how long it lasts, because, you know, it will fade, and that's fine. You don't need to chase it to prove you cared. And honestly, it is not always goodbye forever. I've resuscitated many a hyperfixation in my time. Tip 4, keep the good bits. When the fixation passes, not everything has to go with it. Sometimes it leaves behind a little habit or a skill or just even a random bit of trivia that makes you oddly good at pub quizzes. I mean, Jesus, I'm your go-to monarchy girl. Cheers, ADHD. Boom. Tip 5, don't turn calm into crisis. So when that buzz fades, that empty feeling isn't failure. It's just your brain just resting, just having a little snooze. You don't need to feel that silence immediately. It's weird, I know. Stillness feels suspicious when you've got ADHD. So yes, hyperfixations. Messy, dramatic, occasionally life-changing, occasionally just expensive. But that's ADHD, isn't it? Bloody expensive. And you know what? It's not proof that we're inconsistent. They're just proof that our brains, like, care. Maybe a little bit too much sometimes, but, you know, that's the charm. And honestly, the older I get, the more I realise I don't want to get rid of this part of my brain. I just want to kind of work with it, without letting anxiety turn into another stick to beat myself with. Every hyperfixation teaches me something, even if it is just maybe I shouldn't order, like, 40 tubes of paint next time. Or that it is just totally fine to move on once the buzz fades. It doesn't mean it didn't matter. You don't have to stick with everything forever. Sometimes it's good enough that it made you feel excited for a while. And I mean, that's kind of the point, isn't it? Anyway, that's it for today. Like this episode, please subscribe. Honestly, it gives me dopamine and I love it. It's cheaper than therapy. Send it to a mate currently convincing themselves that their new hobby is definitely the one. And drink some water, have a snack, and maybe, just maybe, don't start another project tonight. And I will see you next time.